I'm Michael Gibson, and you're listening to Real Life Love, my podcast about how to have great relationships. This week on the show, Dad and I are so excited to be able to talk about something that we've wanted to talk about for a long time on this show. This week, we're going to be having a conversation about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is essential if you want to have great relationships. And joining us this week to talk about this topic is one of the greatest communicators in Christendom, Pastor Mark Driscoll. Pastor Mark's written a great book called Spirit-Filled Jesus, and this week he's going to be sharing some incredible wisdom that I know you're going to be blessed by. And it's all next. And welcome into another edition of Real Life Love. It is your host, Michael Gibson, alongside the fantastic Captain Dad. Dad, we're going to keep the intro short this morning because we are so excited about our guests. We're so excited about this topic, and it's a topic that we've wanted to address on this program for a long time.
We really have. And, you know, when we always talk about relationships, we're always talking about how to have healthy relationships and being able to have good quality of relationships. But one of the things that, Michael, you and I have really talked about is, where do we get this? How can we really experience high quality relationships? Because you and I know where that comes from. But then we kept looking for who would be the best person to help us understand where we can have these richer relationships from. And we really have the right guest on the show today.
That's right. That's right. We really do. And speaking of our guest, he is one of the greatest communicators in Christendom, and he has a thriving ministry in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of our favorite cities in the world, and in his church there. And I love his insight on this topic, and I know you're going to be blessed by our guest today, who's Pastor Mark Driscoll. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing so great.
You know, Scottsdale is my hometown.
Oh, I love it here. I just took the top off my Jeep so that for the next 8 months, Jesus could see me smile. We're good. It's all good. Yeah.
Well, it's raining where I am, so I envy that. And I love my hometown of Scottsdale, Phoenix area. So it's a great area to be in.
Absolutely.
Yes. And Michael, again, Pastor Mark being on our show is just, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. And Mark, we were just really talking about how to have great relationships. And you really have a lot of insight into how we can go from here to way up exponential relationships. Help us to understand how to do that.
Yeah, I'll just pull some themes and threads from the latest book, Spirit-Filled Jesus. And the first one is that, you know, the first relationship has to be the relationship with God. Otherwise, what we do, we try and put people in the place of the relationship with God. And people, even good people that love us, they can't be ever present. They can't be ever helpful. They don't have an infinite, inexhaustible energy. And so the easiest way to destroy a relationship is to put someone into the place that Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If we put someone in the place of being the vine for us that we're getting the nourishment and life from, we're going to destroy them and the relationship. And so that's why it's so important, first of all, healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus, and then understanding how did Jesus do relationships. So it's relationship with him, and then it's relationships like him. And sometimes we tend to think of Jesus as kind of like, you know, the Lone Ranger, Rambo, you know, this John Wayne, isolated, one against the world. And the Bible is very clear that Jesus lived in constant, intimate, personal relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' whole life and ministry is surrounded and saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so, just as one example, when he's baptized, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove. And in two of the four Gospels, it says that the Holy Spirit remained or abided with him. And so what that means is for the rest of Jesus' life and ministry, for all of Jesus' life and ministry, he did it by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They were working in relationship together. So Jesus knows relationship. The whole concept of the Trinitarian God of the Bible is that God is relational. God doesn't just do relationship. God is relational. And then when we look at how Jesus did relationships, it's that first personal relationship with the Holy Spirit that empowered him to have healthy relationships. And so, you know, a lot of people will talk about their personal relationship with Jesus, which is awesome. But I think a lot of people don't understand that they also need a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's the first relationship that Jesus had. And it kept him emotionally healthy, relationally present to enjoy healthy relationships with other people. So, I mean, that would be the first place that I would start is oftentimes we're thinking of a relationship. We're thinking of someone in our life that's causing us pain or problems. And how do I resolve this? I think sometimes we need to pivot and say, okay, where am I at with the Lord? How am I with the Holy Spirit? Is that relationship healing me up, making me whole? So then I can turn around and love that person, forgive that person, reconcile with that person, enjoy that person, rather than having them in the position of needing to be, you know, God to me in my life and meeting those relational needs that only God can make.
Mm. And when we talk about the relationships, you talk about with Jesus, you talk about with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, because a lot of times we talk about, and especially in relationships, we always talk about skills, you know, how to listen better, how to be more understanding, and, you know, differences between men and women and just personality, all of these different things, which are good. But the thing is, we can have all the understanding of these skills and everything in relationships, but if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then really all these skills aren't going to really help us in the relationship. And so when Jesus is relational, Jesus had awesome relationships. How did he have that? Where did that come from to help us to be able to have these good quality, healthy, life-giving relationships?
Well, the first thing is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so love is the crucial element to any healthy relationship. And the good news is that we don't have to be the source of love, that God is the source of love, and that the fruit of the Spirit is love. So as we're living in relationship with the Holy Spirit, the emotional life of Jesus comes to us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What that is, that's the emotional health and life of Jesus. So if we're filled with the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, we start to experience ever-increasing character of Christ and emotional health. That then sets us up to have healthy relationships, because until we're emotionally healthy, we're not going to have healthy relationships. And so the Holy Spirit comes to heal us up and to make us emotionally healthy. And then one of the things that he does is he gives us discernment in relationships with other people. The Bible says that Jesus didn't entrust himself to everyone because he knew what was in the heart of everyone. And so what we see is that God looks at the heart, man looks at the outward, the Bible says. So sometimes we don't know who to trust. We don't know really what is going on, especially when you're dealing with people that are covert. There are people that are overt and they're very obvious. There are people that are covert and they're very subtle. I would say that Peter in the Bible is a guy who's very overt. You never have to guess what he's thinking. He's always telling you. Judas is a guy who's very covert. You would not know that he was the betrayer until the end of the story. He had no poker tell. He didn't reveal anything. I mean, as you read the storyline of the relationships that Jesus had with the 12 disciples, if you had to, you know, place a bet in Vegas, who's going to betray him? You'd probably pick Peter. You know, probably the last guy you pick is Judas. I mean, he never says or does anything out of sorts until the end. He's very covert. So one of the things, not only does the Holy Spirit allow us to have a relationship with God, he also brings us the emotional health of Jesus, and then he gives us discernment to get to the heart of people and to know who's safe and unsafe, who's trustworthy and untrustworthy, because it's truly only the Holy Spirit who really knows what's in someone's heart. And so even this week at the Trinity Church where I pastor, we're talking about three kinds of people, and in his book, I don't know, you've probably seen it, Henry Cloud's got his book, Necessary Endings, and he talks about three kinds of people and they're wise, foolish, and evil. And the key is that we treat different people differently depending upon how they behave. And so, like in Proverbs, you know, if someone is wise, he who walks with the wise grows wise. So if someone is wise, we want to give them more time, more energy, more access, more trust. If someone is foolish, they don't deal with reality. They shift their burdens. They're not listening. We love them, but we have boundaries for them. And I would say, you know, Peter is a good example of someone who for a while with Jesus was foolish. But Jesus loved him, had a relationship with him, but there were consequences. There were some hard conversations. And then the third kind of person, there's evil people, and they're dangerous, and you can't have a relationship with them. This would be like Judas Iscariot. Jesus had a relationship with him, obviously, for 3 years, loved and served him perfectly, and he looks at Judas and says, well, just go do what you're going to do. He doesn't try and salvage the relationship. He doesn't try and fix the relationship. He knows that Judas has handed himself over and has just decided to be and to do evil. And so I think part of it is, not only do we want to have healthy relationships, we need to be discerning. Are we wise? Are we foolish, or are we evil? You know, are we inviting God to give us discernment so that we can become more wise? And then as we're in relationship with people, are they wise? Are they foolish? Are they evil? Depending upon where they're at in their character, that affects and determines in large part what kind of relationship we have. Because if you're evil, I can't be close to you. If you're wise, I want to get closer to you. If you're evil, I can't trust you with information or my family or money. If you're wise, I can trust you with those things. And so I think a lot of people, they keep trying to make relationships work, but they don't understand that there's three kinds of people, and those result in different kinds of relationships. Mm.
That's really, I mean, insightful, just Mark, what you're sharing in the discernment. I know for me, it's just keeping on even certain staff people that I have in the past, you know, because you really think about ministry. So I got to do ministry and keep them in this situation so that way we can keep helping them along. But then it ends up always kind of, it seems like it kind of stabs me then. And so How does that look like? Because inside my mind, it was screaming out, this is what you needed to do. But I thought, you know what? I need to be in the trenches with them. I need to be helping them through this. And so for people to understand, how does the Holy Spirit work in this to really say, whoa, this is an evil person. This person isn't good for me. How do we know that's speaking into our lives? And then as you were sharing, how do we end that?
Yeah. And so it's interesting. This is my sermon on Sunday. I talk about there's three kinds of people and six kinds of relationships. And all of this is in the book, Spirit-Filled Jesus. If people can't, you know, keep up taking notes, it's there. But if you have a wise person and a foolish person, you end up with a parental relationship where the wise person is always trying to look after, pick up for, take care of the foolish person. If you get a wise person and an evil person, there's a distant relationship. The wise person keeps safety as a primary concern. If you get two foolish people together, it's a codependent relationship. They're drinking buddies, gambling buddies, you know, they cover one another's sins, they get in trouble together. If you get a foolish and an evil person, that's an abusive relationship where the evil person takes advantage of the naive, foolish person and really harms them. If you get two evil people together, they're like two barrels on a gun. They're very dangerous. And if you get a wise person and a wise person together, they have a healthy, loving, growing relationship. And so, you know, my focus is always, am I growing to be wiser and godlier? Are you growing to be wiser and godlier? If that happens, we'll have a healthy relationship. But if either of us are being foolish or evil, it is impossible to have a healthy relationship. And so a lot of people will say, you know, it's about the relationship. I'd say, well, the relationship is the byproduct of character. And if you're wise and growing in wisdom, and I'm seeking to be wise and grow in wisdom, we're going to have a healthy relationship. If one of us is foolish or evil, that becomes impossible. And so I talk about in the book, sometimes it's a transition talk where you sit somebody down and say, if some things don't change, this relationship will need to change. I think Jesus had a transition talk with Peter, right? Peter denies him. Jesus meets with him and is like, hey, Peter, here's what you did. You know, you weren't a good friend to me. You really did some serious harm to this relationship. And he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's a transition talk. That is, Peter, you need to acknowledge that you really did some harm to the relationship. And if you really do love me, we're going to need to do things differently going forward. And Peter responded, obviously, well, goes on to be a leader in the early church. Jesus then has another conversation with Judas Iscariot, and that's not a transition talk. That's a closure conversation. It's basically the talk that says we're not going to talk anymore, that the relationship has officially died, and we're going to now go have the funeral. And so Jesus knew when it was time to cause Peter to step up. And with Judas, he knew when it was time to step away. And that's one of the most important times that I think we need the Holy Spirit. We need him to speak to us through the scriptures, through the wise counsel of others. We need him to really lead and guide us, because we don't want to walk around just cutting everybody off. We also don't want to tolerate unhealthy relationships, and we don't want to allow evil people to do harm. And so it takes a lot of discernment and sometimes a lot of courage to act on that discernment. And I believe this is what empowered and enabled, again, the life of Jesus. Because you think about it, with Jesus, he had healthy and unhealthy relationships. He had demon-possessed people that wanted a relationship with him. He had people who were religious and wanted to murder him, and they wanted to hang out with him and be close, but they were evil, so he maintained his distance. He had foolish people that were just trying to come around for the free lunch and the free health care with no copay and deductible. I mean, the number and kinds of relationships that Jesus had to deal with, it's overwhelming. But he treated different people differently. He pulls John the Beloved close. He pushes Judas far away. He gives some boundaries to Peter. He's dealing with different people differently. And I think sometimes as Christians, our first thought is we need to do whatever it takes to maintain the relationship. Well, you know what? Sometimes Jesus let people go. And sometimes we need to let people go. And if they want to change, then we can pick it up again. But we can't pick it up on their terms.
You know, Mark, one thing I'm thinking about during our conversation is you know, I think that the Holy Spirit is something that I don't think a lot of people put together with a great relationship tool. And, you know, I'm thinking about our listeners right now that are just, you know, are energized and are saying to themselves, I need the Holy Spirit in my relationships. And maybe even some people will be having their first interaction with the Holy Spirit. And so guide us down the journey. How does the listener or how does our listeners begin to invite the Holy Spirit into their relationships and be able to use it as a tool to be able to use for great things like discernment?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, there's a whole section in the book on it, but is forgiveness. Every relation, what I say this to married couples all the time, you know, you don't fall out of love, you fall out of forgiveness. I mean, that's what happens, you know. Before you fall out of love, you fall out of forgiveness. Good. And you start holding and nursing a grudge. You're bitter, you're unforgiving. And so, you know, the death to any relationship is any residual bitterness, hurt, nursing of a grudge, and unforgiveness. And so, you know, I did a deep dive Bible study on forgiveness. And oftentimes where it talks about unforgiveness or bitterness in the Bible, in the same orbit, it talks about Satan and the demonic. So it says like in Ephesians 4, you know, forgive one another, don't give the devil a foothold. And so I started looking at it. God forgives. That's why we can have a relationship with God. Satan and demons, they're never forgiven for anything. They never forgive anyone for anything. And so Satan and demons, they don't do forgiveness. They don't. And so if you want to be forgiven, you need the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who applies the forgiveness that Jesus provides. And he empowers us to forgive others. So in that same section in Ephesians 4, it says, don't give the devil a foothold. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to do something supernatural, and that is to forgive others as Jesus has forgiven you. The only reason we can have a relationship with Jesus is because we're forgiven. And what that means is the only way we can have a relationship with anyone else is if there's forgiveness. And so the Holy Spirit is the one, he is the one who empowers us, enables us, gives us that supernatural ability and capacity to forgive. And that heals us up, and that opens us up to healthy relationships. And so many relationships, I say they're guilty of, you know, archaeological digs. Every time you get together, we're just going to dig up the past and look at it again. You know, man, it is hard to have a healthy relationship if all we're ever doing is an archaeological dig. And forgiveness sort of lets you move on from that and get on with the future.
Right. And Mark, because you talked about these toxic relationships, the relationships that maybe needs that transitional talk, that relationship that needs to end. Help us go through the process, because this is so hard even for me, and I know for so many, is we're called to forgiveness, but then also how do we know when, because we got this 70 times seven, we keep forgiving, but then we have this where we just know the relationship isn't good for us and that person's not changing. Maybe they're in the evil category. Is how do we know, or how do we end that relationship so that way we're not held captive by that anymore? And maybe that's not a relationship that God is calling us into right there. But then how do we exit that? We still experience forgiveness and we're not running away from our problems, but we're trying to be wise.
Yeah. And when we, there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. You can forgive someone and life pivots and you're no longer as close as you once were. And that certainly does happen. And, you know, I would say when we forgive someone, what we're doing is we're deciding, I'm not going to be the judge that tries this case. What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to send this case up to the higher court and I'll let Jesus be the judge and he'll render the verdict. And I think for people who are strong justice people, they're like, there needs to be justice. They need to be held accountable. And sometimes it's like, that's what faith is. It is saying, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, hand that case to the Lord and let him try the case. Let him deal with the person. Because, you know, to me, when we forgive, we stop win, you know, we stop making winning our focus. We start making worship our focus. You know, if I don't forgive someone, they become the emotional center of my life and they're taking a lot of time and energy. Once I forgive them, I hand them over to the Lord, let the Lord deal with them. Then God can be the center of my life. Now I can start to get healthy and I can have that relationship with God start to restore me. And too many people, the center of their life is really not their relationship with God. It's the relationship with a person who betrayed them or abandoned them or abused them or divorced them or undermined them or stole from them. And that's the person that is the dominant relationship in their life. That's why they're sick. That's why they're unhealthy. And forgiving someone is really not just a gift you give to them. It's a gift you give to yourself so you can heal up, you can move forward, you can get beyond that and get on. And that's where I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, this one thing I do, I forget what is in the past and I press forward to what's in the future. And you can't go two directions at the same time. And by forgiving someone, you're literally saying, I'm going to leave that to the Lord and leave that in the past. And then I'm going to move on with whatever God has for this next season of my life. And I know as people are listening to this, it sounds easy, but you know, if you're divorced, if you're betrayed, if your business partner stole from you, I got a call. I'm a pastor this week, you know, I mean, not in our church, but in another state, somebody I know, their husband just ran off with another woman and they're devastated. I mean, so I'm not saying that forgiveness is an instant. Sometimes it's a process, but God wants us to forgive so that we can heal up and move on. And once we do, then we're able to have healthy relationships. Otherwise, if you're a bitter, hurt person, man, you do not end up with healthy relationships. You either get people that are hurt and bitter and you sort of come together to commiserate like an unholy alliance, or you become very isolated, almost paranoid, non-relational because you don't want to be hurt again. Neither of those is a healthy way to be. We need to be relational, but we need to be discerning. We need to be wise, and we need to learn from the past painful relationships so that we can move on to healthier ones in the future.
Mark, your quote you just said, winning is not the focus, but worship. That is gold.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing is when people are fighting, and as a pastor, I've been, you know, senior pastor for more than 20 years, when they sit down, what they really want to do, they want to make the pastor, the counselor, the mediator, the referee. So it's like, you tell me your side, you tell me your side, and then I'm supposed to put on a striped shirt, blow a whistle, and you win, you lose, right. You know? And my thing is, the goal is not winning, the goal is worshiping. And so let's move this forward to your relationship with God. And if you're worshiping, then your relationship with God is healthy and you won't be as concerned about winning in all of your other relationships.
Everyone needs to write that down because that is such a great mindset, such a great way of honoring God, honoring others in relationship, is giving up my right to win and just let this be about my worship. Let this be about me being obedient to I got, and being able to transition from this forgiveness stage into this relationship, just like you were just sharing with your a friend, a pastor who ran off with another woman, then here she is in bitterness, the rejection, the abandonment, all these emotions that come through. And then what, just for your experience and as a pastor is working through in the Holy Spirit, is I know in the deep pain, we want it to be gone right then. I hate pain. You know, going through the valley, I want to get up as fast as I can back to the green pasture. And but what is the significance of that valley, and what is the Holy Spirit's work within us where it's not really a bummer? It is, but there's a lot that happens in the valley that God is very interested in. Help us to understand that part of the relationship.
Yeah, well, in the book, I got a whole section on suffering, and there's this one line in Hebrews that you just scratched your head. It says, "And Jesus was made perfect through his suffering." And you go, well, Jesus was perfect before he came to the earth and before he endured like the cross and the worst suffering of all time. So what does that mean? What that means is that Jesus had an understanding and then it became an experience. And for us, there are things that we know, but we don't really learn them until we experience them through suffering. And so suffering is a school that we all attend. And in that school, we learn the most valuable lessons, but they're the most expensive and costly lessons. And when people graduate from the school of suffering, they say things like, it was the worst thing, I'd never wanted it, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because I grew, I changed, I learned, I experienced God, I appreciated Jesus' suffering. All of this revelation and this maturity happens through suffering. And so, you know, I wish for the people that were listening, you know, I wish you could get character at Costco. I wish you could just go, you know, get a whole pallet, bring it out to your truck, take it home and have character for your whole family. You know, that would be amazing. But in my experience, character comes through suffering. And most people would say, I would love to have character, but I do not want suffering. Well, there is no other way. I mean, that's because it is in suffering that God purifies our motives. It's in suffering that we remind ourselves of the sufferings of Jesus. And Peter says this, and I get in this in the book, that Peter makes a promise that the Holy Spirit rests in heavier glory on those who are suffering. That's why sometimes people who are in the worst circumstances are the most aware of God's presence in their life, because the Holy Spirit shows up with a power that is equal to the problem that we face. And so when the problem is greater, his presence is stronger. And it's this mystery of our faith, and it's something that as you walk with Jesus for a while, you realize, that as God increases my pain threshold, he is also increasing my character. And those are commensurate. It's almost like somebody who goes to the gym and says, it hurts like crazy, but I'm healthier and I'm stronger. It's like, well, that's resistance training. And sometimes God has resistance training for the soul in the school of suffering.
Mm-hmm. And in the midst of the suffering, it is what you're just sharing, is our character is being developed. Our character is being refined, like going to the gym. We're getting stronger and we're learning more, not just about our bodies, but we're getting in a healthy place. And that really helps us to have great relationships, healthier relationships. And Mark, as we're going through the suffering and being in the presence of God, allowing God to continue to work in our lives, is what encouragement do you have on the other side for our listeners when you talk about this suffering? What can we expect to have happen? What is that hope that we have going in the future so we can embrace the suffering that we may be in today?
Yeah, I mean, the line that comes to mind is the Bible says, we do not grieve as those who do not have hope. And so, you know, everybody suffers, but the believer suffers differently. Firstly, we know that when we're suffering, it's not God punishing us, because he already punished Jesus in our place for our sins. And we know that it is in part because of a fallen and sinful world that one day is going to go away. And so for the believer, this is as close to hell as we will ever be. And for the unbeliever, this is as close to heaven as they will ever be. For the believer, this is as bad as it gets. For the unbeliever, this is as good as it gets. And as we have that sort of long-term eternal mindset, we grieve and we suffer, but not as those who don't have any hope. And I think it makes us more grateful for the suffering of Jesus. I think it makes us all more compassionate to the suffering of others, which is really the key to a relationship. And in the book Spirit-Filled Jesus, I do a whole chapter on Jesus' emotional life. Hardly anything is written or taught on this, but there are 60 different scriptures in the four Gospels that express Jesus' emotions. And so he's a very emotional, very passionate person. But the number one emotion that's more frequently mentioned of Jesus than anything else is his compassion. And I think that just shows you emotional, relational maturity when you're aware of the suffering of others, not your own, when you're emotionally present for them in their time of need, not just overwhelmed with your own needs. That shows an other-centeredness, that shows an emotional, relational health and maturity. And so, you know, I would say it's amazing that we have a God who has been through whatever we are going through, and he has compassion for us in the midst of it. And then he also says that he will send the Holy Spirit, the helper, to help us. And it was the Holy Spirit who helped Jesus get through what he went through. And he sends the Holy Spirit to get us through what we're going through. So not only has Jesus gone through it and experienced it, set an example, has compassion for us, sends help to us. I mean, that's amazing. The unbeliever has no revelation of any of that, but for the believer, it really transforms how we see even the worst, darkest, most difficult days of our life and the most painful relationships.
Mm. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's just incredible, Mark. And you know, as we close our time together, I want to go back to that word that you said earlier, hope. And, you know, I know so oftentimes we're going through the valley and it's difficult for us to see the other side in our relationships, especially if we're going through pain in our relationships. But if we can hold on to the hope and hold on to the promise that Jesus gives us through his Holy Spirit, we know we're going to get to the other side. And so, you know, Mark, one tradition we have on this podcast is we love for our guests to pray for our listeners. And would you mind praying for the listener that's thinking to themselves right now, I don't see the other side of this. And I've tried everything and I'm desperate to get this relationship healed, or I'm desperate to have the confidence to be able to walk away from an unhealthy relationship. Would you mind praying for those listeners?
Yeah. Father God, thank you for an opportunity just to teach and share a little bit today. And Lord, thank you that you are a relational God, Father, Son, and Spirit. You don't just have relationships. You are relational. And Lord, thank you that you said it's not good to be alone, that we need to be in relationship. And so, God, as we think of our relationships, let us always start with our relationship with you. Is there any sin that we need to repent of? Is there any folly we need to dismiss? Is there any lies that we're believing? And help us through the presence and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit in quiet times of worship and prayer and Bible study, to Lord God, really grow in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you come to comfort, you come to heal, you come to encourage, you come to bring the emotional character and the love of Christ. And so please help these dear people to experience your presence today and every day. And also, Lord, then as we move forward in life and in the world, I'm reminded that the number one command in the whole Bible is fear not, about 150 times. Lord, you keep telling your children, fear not, fear not, fear not, because we're afraid. Lord, we're afraid of the future. We're afraid of pain, suffering, loss, relationship, conflict. And Lord, I'm just reminded that in almost every occasion that you say, fear not, nearby you say, for I'm with you. And so, Lord, it is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God that gets us through life. And so, as trouble is present, Lord, I just pray that everyone who hears this would be ever reminded that you are present with them and you are present to get them through whatever circumstances they find themselves in. And so, Lord, thank you that you are a God who understands. Thank you that you are a God who helps. And thank you, Lord God, that you've dealt with our biggest problem and you're humble and kind and loving enough to help us with all of our other problems. And you took care of our biggest relational need, and you'll help us with all of our other relational needs. And there's really no one like you, Lord. So we just say thank you for who you are, and we ask that we grow to be more like your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
And that is our show on spirit-filled relationships. If you enjoyed this conversation today and want to go deeper, I would encourage you to go get Pastor Mark's new book called Spirit-Filled Jesus. It's available worldwide now. And so be sure to head to the bookstore or head online to purchase that copy today. We'd like to thank Pastor Mark for taking the time to be on the show with us today. And if you would like more of Real Life Love, then don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We have so many incredible episodes just like this one coming up this fall and into the new year. So if you want more info on relationships, more wisdom on relationships, be sure to press that subscribe button. Also, if you want to go deeper with our content, we have so many different avenues for you. I have a blog, michaelgibson.blog, with tons of different articles on there. I blog almost every day about a relationship idea. Also, something new I just released is my brand new vlog. That's vlog with a V. You can find the link to my YouTube channel on michaelgibson.blog and also my Facebook page, facebook.com/themichaelgibson. Our music this week is produced by Hurley Mower. And you've been listening to Real Life Love. We'll see you next week.